from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today on the show. We provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. You can subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, since the Giants were off last night and we don't have a game to talk about, I'm going to answer the question that was posed in one of our Reddit submissions, doing like a primer on some of these numbers that I like to talk about and why we talk about them, and I think that that's a great idea. So the first thing that I want to talk about is batting average, home runs, and RBI, because these are the three things that we just cannot seem to get away from. And even to this day, when we have so many better metrics out there for evaluating hitters, we still see with great regularity, and it's the primary thing that any broadcaster is going to talk about when evaluating a player, is their batting average, home runs, and RBI. And to me, like, none of these is even all that relevant at all. So we're actually going to talk about why on this show. So the issue with batting average, this is a hot topic. We could write a book on this topic, but in a general sense, the problem with batting average is that it's simply measuring the rate at which you get a hit. It is not telling you at all what type of hits you're getting. And that's, I understand, where home runs and RBIs are attempting to kind of tell you in a general way what kind of power the guy has as well. So we're conditioned to think that a good batting average is anything over 300 and that home runs are what's telling you if there's power behind it or not. But the issue is, we are now able to provide specific weights to all of the different offensive outcomes. So we actually know the value of a single, the value of a double, the value of a triple, the value of a steal, the value of a caught stealing, the value of a walk. All of the different offensive outcomes can be weighted. And so when that is available to us, it's just absolutely pointless to use batting average, which a guy in a hypothetical world who has only singles and never draws walks might have, let's say, 300 hits in 1,000 plate appearances, and they're all singles, no walks, no extra base hits. So he's a 300 hitter. Yes, his home runs will be zero, but for those analyzing on TV or at home, they might not even care about the lack of home runs. And in another example, the guy might have 300 triples and zero home runs and zero singles, zero doubles in 1,000 plate appearances. And by batting average, he is evaluated the exact same. If you're just showing batting average, home runs, RBI, let's say he gets his triples, there's never anybody on base when he hits his triples. So we're literally saying that if you're only using those three metrics, average, home runs, and RBIs, the guy who hits 300 singles and the guy who hits 300 triples, if there's nobody on base, you actually cannot tell any difference between those two performances. So there are tons of examples of why batting average is flawed, but I think we'll jump right into one of my favorites, and that's the example of Joey Gallo, who for his career has a 207 batting average, yet with the more advanced metrics, we're able to tell that he's actually an above average offensive contributor. It just makes a world of difference what type of hits you're getting when you're getting your hits. And it also matters if you're drawing walks. So someone like Gallo is good because he draws a lot of walks, and whenever he gets a hit, you know, he's averaged over 40 home runs a year the last couple of years. And this is a case where if we were looking at average home runs and RBIs, we would see the home runs and kind of understand what was going on. But there's no guarantee, like a player who plays for the Giants, like if Joey Gallo played for the Giants, I don't know how many home runs he would hit, but it wouldn't be 40 and it would be something less. And that's another reason why we have to look at park adjusted offensive numbers, because in theory, Joey Gallo is Joey Gallo no matter where he plays. And so whether he plays in Colorado or San Francisco, we want to be able to use metrics that evaluate him the exact same way, regardless of where he plays. So this is another example of where home runs, RBIs, and batting average don't do justice to the player. A big part of the issue with just looking at batting average is that it essentially is saying that walks don't matter at all. And a lot of fans seem to have this opinion, especially in the almost decades-long now belt wars. There's always talk about how he's looking to draw walks and selective with two strikes, blah, blah, blah. The thing is that a walk is almost as valuable as a single, and so we absolutely need to count it because it is an important offensive outcome, and it's worth more than half a run better than an out. So the difference between a walk and a single is much smaller than the difference between a walk and an out. In 2015, because that's the table I have pulled up here, the average walk in Major League Baseball was worth 0.55 runs compared to an out, which is worth zero. And a single on average is worth 0.7 runs compared to an out, again, which is worth zero. A double is worth about one run. A triple is worth 1.27 runs, and a home run is worth, on average, 1.65 runs. So that's saying it's totally taking context out of the equation and just saying if a player hits a double, you can expect that it's adding the value of that many runs to your team's scoring chances in that inning. So every walk is worth about half a run. Every single is worth almost three quarters of a run. A double is worth a run. Home run is worth a little over 1.5 runs. So we have the different weights here, and that is going a step further, one of the flaws of slugging percentage. The flaw there is that slugging percentage is calculated by taking a single and a double and saying a double is literally worth two and a single is worth one and a triple is worth three and a home run is worth four. So it's attempting to add weights to the different offensive outcomes, but as we can see here, those weights are not really even close to correct. So even when we're trying to be doing the right thing and looking at something like OPS, which I'll admit I use all the time, but it's mostly because I think it's easier to, where it's a slow process getting people to convert from, you know, average home runs, RBIs over to this newer stuff that's really not that scary and complicated. It's just stuff that people are not used to. But so to use OPS is like, it's like a stepping stone towards weighted on base average. So that's whenever I'm talking about weighted on base average, it's using linear weights, which is what I was just saying, the run value of the different offensive outcomes. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya. With their personally curated playlists and new features every day, download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to look at some more specific players and analyze why it's so important to use these numbers as opposed to the traditional numbers. And we're also going to consider another thing that people like to talk a lot about, which is batting average with runners in scoring position. So you're not going to want to miss that. It's all coming up next. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's B-L-U-E, chew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to continue this conversation about advanced analytics for batters and why they're so much better than the traditional numbers, especially home runs, batting average, and RBIs, which, quite frankly, if I never saw any of those numbers again, it would be perfectly fine. So continuing on the Joey Gallo theme, he's a guy, he plays for the Texas Rangers, he bats left-handed, his career batting average is .207, and he strikes out almost 40% of the time, which is just really high. Yet he is a well above average offensive player, and that is because he draws his walks, so we're giving him those 0.55 runs, whatever it may be, in a given year, every time he walks, and he walks 15% of the time, approximately. So, you know, he hits .207, but we pretty much every time he gets a walk, it's almost as good as a single. So if you really want to focus on something like batting average, imagine that a walk is a single and imagine what that would do to his batting average, because it's definitely more like a single than it is like an out. So we have to consider walks. We absolutely cannot just pretend they don't exist. And then going a step further, okay, so he has a .207 average, but a .321 on base percentage, which is very average, which is impressive considering how low the batting average is. But then there's the same problem with on base percentage, that you're treating all times on base as equal. So on base percentage says a walk and a home run are exactly the same, which is why slugging percentage exists. It attempts to take on base percentage and then break it up and apply weights to the different outcomes, but it fails because it has the incorrect weights. So in reality, another flaw with slugging percentage and on base percentage, when you combine them and into OPS, which literally just stands for on base plus slugging, the flaw there is that on base percentage is actually worth quite a bit more than slugging percentage. So if somebody has a good on base percentage and a okay slugging, and combining the two, it equals a pretty good number. But if someone has a bad on base percentage and a good slugging, and combining the two, it equals that same number, the guy who gets there with a better on base percentage is actually a better offensive contributor, because on base percentage is worth 1.8 times as much as slugging percentage when the two are just simply added together. So that's just another flaw with OPS. It's not like we should be doing the mental gymnastics of trying to take OPS and then multiply on base percentage times 1.8, like within our own heads. We could just simply use weighted on base average, which is applying the proper weight to all of the different offensive outcomes instead of having to do that. And the beauty of weighted on base average is that it's scaled to the league average on base percentage. So as long as you know what a good on base percentage is, you know what a good weighted on base average is as well. But then going even further, the problem with weighted on base average is that it's not park adjusted. And so if a player who plays for the Rockies has the same weighted on base average as a player who plays for the Giants, the player who plays on the Giants is actually contributing at a much higher offensive level, because someone who plays on the Rockies, it's much easier to get those different offensive outcomes. Home runs are easier to come by. Every offensive category is easier to compile when you play for the Colorado Rockies and you play at altitude in Denver. It's just by far the most hitter-friendly park in baseball, and the Giants, AT&T, Oracle, is by far the least hitter-friendly. So we then are tasked with having to adjust for the fact that these guys play in different environments. And that's where something like weighted runs created plus comes into play. And it's, again, extremely simple, where the league average is set to 100, and anything above or below 100 is that percent above or below average. So Joey Gallo, for his career, has a 113 weighted runs created plus, meaning he's been 13% better than the average hitter in baseball for his career, given the time period that he's played in. That's another important element of weighted runs created plus, is it's comparing them to their peers in a given year. So Gallo in his career also has a .350 weighted on base average, which is quite good, but it's higher than we might expect for someone who's only been 13% above average. And that's because he plays half his games in Texas, which is an extremely hitter-friendly park, especially for left-handed hitters like he is. So if a Giants player is like 13% above average offensively, we would expect a weighted on base average in pretty much all of their numbers, whether it's average on base percentage, slugging, home runs, doubles, whatever it may be, is going to be pushed down. But the number that's park adjusted might be exactly the same. So we can look at Hunter Pence, for example, which is a fitting comparison because he now plays for the Rangers with Joey Gallo, and he started with the Astros. So he's had a lot of Texas history, and in his career, he's been almost exactly the same in terms of offensive value park adjusted. He's been 15% above average offensively in his career compared to Gallo, who's been 13% above average. But while Gallo did it with a 207 batting average, Hunter Pence has done it with a 280 batting average. Another guy who's on a similar level offensively as Joey Gallo and Hunter Pence is Charlie Blackmon. He's been 14% above average offensively in his career, yet he's been a 302 hitter. He has a ton of home runs, and he has a great career on base percentage and a slugging percentage that's right around where Gallo's is. And so that has everything to do with the fact that Charlie Blackmon has played for the Rockies his entire career. So his weighted on base average is 366, which is well above Gallo's 350, but their park adjusted numbers are almost exactly the same. And so that is how extreme of a hitter friendly ballpark Colorado is. But it's pretty telling that a guy hitting 302 for his career like Blackmon can be roughly the same offensively in their careers as Gallo, who's had a 207 batting average. So 100 points of difference. And historically, you know, these guys would not even be considered anywhere close to the same level of offensive player because one hits 200 and one hits 300, yet here they are. I would say they're the same offensively. So the last thing we're going to cover, and we don't actually have much time to do it, is batting average with runners in scoring position. It has been studied, and it is something that is not a repeatable skill. To illustrate this, I'm going to look back at 2013 when the St. Louis Cardinals hit an amazing 330 with runners in scoring position. So one of the common misconceptions, I'm not saying that this stat doesn't matter. Like, if you have a 330 team batting average with runners in scoring position, you're probably going to score a lot of runs. That's not at all, I'm not contesting that fact. What I'm contesting is that it's relevant and predictive. So like, it's almost like saying, look, the Giants are hitting 400 on Tuesday nights. Like, okay, that may be true, and it's a good way to win on Tuesday nights, but it doesn't mean it's something that is worth even mentioning because it's not repeatable and it's not something we should expect to move forward. It's just a random variation of batting average. So I remember that entire season, everyone was saying how clutch the Cardinals were and how they were just able to, you know, get focused with runners in scoring position, whatever it may be. But then the next year they hit 254, which was right about average with runners in scoring position. So what? Did they suddenly lose their clutchiness? Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous to say when it's happening that they're clutch. It's seriously like saying they're just clutch on Tuesday. What if it's just more likely that it's random and that Tuesday has nothing to do with it, just like runners in scoring position has nothing to do with it? This has been studied. The same can be said with batter-pitcher matchups, which we also hear every single game, that ownage is ownage and this guy hits well against this guy. There may be something to certain guys are more equipped to handle certain types of pitches, but in terms of career numbers against an opposing pitcher, there's absolutely, this has again been studied, and there's no indication that that is something that bears any predictive value on future at-bats versus that pitcher or batter. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. I would definitely like to go into more depth, although we did cover a lot of ground today on this topic. So the Giants take on the Toronto Blue Jays tonight in Toronto, and those rumors about Vlad Guerrero Jr. being called up were apparently false. I hear they're not planning to call up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Giants will have Jeff Samardzija on the mound. Trent Thornton will start for the Blue Jays. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.